Take your Bible tonight to the Old Testament major prophet of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 33, if you will. Just occurred to me I need to turn this phone off. I didn't have to worry about it this morning because it was sitting at my house. I left it at home, didn't need it, so anyhow, get that thing turned off or it doesn't. Even if the president calls tonight, you're just going to have to wait. Just have to wait. Ezekiel chapter 33, if you will. I hope tonight you'll just listen on purpose. And let God speak to you, if you will. I think sometimes people think, well, the preacher's just out to get me. Well, he's not. I'm not out to get you, all right? I want to help you. Look, I believe as a child of God, our desire ought to be to please Him above everything else in life. It ought to be to please Him. I'll say it again. That does not mean you have to surrender to preach, surrender to the mission field, anything like that. But your life can please Him if you're working as a plumber, or you're in a warehouse, or if you know you're working in an office setting, whatever it might be, but you still ought to be concerned that your life please the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of who is driving. Who is driving? Now, when we read the text, you're going to go, what? But stay with me, all right? Stay with me. Ezekiel 33, look if you will, verse 10. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Now, obviously, Ezekiel here is speaking God is speaking through Ezekiel to the nation of Israel. And I don't think it's an injustice for us to take the scripture and let God speak to us as Christians. Now, the church has not replaced Israel. And I don't want you to get that idea. Don't believe that heresy that's taught in our day. But I don't believe it's wrong for us to take this question and apply it to our lives as church members and as born-again believers. All right? And so... He asked them a question. He said, how should we then live? Here we are in a world of sin. We're beset by sin. And he said, if our transgressions, our sins be upon us and we pine away in them, how should we then live? You know, in the light of the fact of sin, how should we live our lives? Now, I don't know. You may have never thought about that question. But the truth of the matter is, you're living out your answer to it. You're living out your answer right now to that question. You, me, and everybody else have a philosophy that governs how we live. Now, we may have never written it down. We never have stated it. But we have a philosophy for how we live our lives. And we live the way we do based upon what drives us. It is what drives us is what causes us to live the way we do. And I believe tonight there's basically three main drivers in people's lives. Three main drivers in people's lives. The one that motivates you is going to determine if you are a Christian, and it's going to determine what kind of Christian you will be. So I want to ask you tonight to consider which one of the three is driving. All right? Which one of the three is behind the controls driving you? Take your Bible, if you will. Let's look at the first one in Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, if you will. There's a great host of people in our world today, and this is the driver for them. Acts chapter 24, if you will. Look down in one verse, verse 25. The Bible says, "And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" There's a host of folks in our world tonight, and that the chauffeur that they sit behind is Mr. Convenient. It is convenience. We live our life the way Felix did. Felix based his life upon what he found convenient for him to do. When things are convenient, they don't get in the way of anything else. You know, there's not many of us that not at some point in time have thought, "Well, I'm going to do that as soon as it's convenient. I'll take care of that. And as soon as I can, I'll take care of it," all right? But here's Felix. God spoke to him. I believe Paul preached a tremendous message to him. And he reasoned with him, the Bible says, of righteousness, temperance, judgment to come. And under the preaching of that word, Felix got under such conviction, the Bible said he trembled. All right, he trembled. God spoke to him. Felix realized, preacher's right. What he's preaching is right. He realized that he had a need. He realized that he needed to make a decision, and a decision was called for on his part right then. But his answer was, "It's not convenient. It's not convenient for me to make that decision right now." So he put it off, saying, "When a convenient season comes, I'll do that." Hey, we believers look at Felix and said, he was a fool. And he was. Under conviction from God. Let me say this to you. I don't care where you are, when it is, or under the whatever the circumstances are. If God deals with you and he speaks to you and you know it, do what he says right then. Act upon what he's dealing with you about. Don't put it off. Take care of it right then. Right then. Man, Felix was a fool. Sad thing is, there's a whole lot of people in our day who name the name of Christ who live their lives thinking only of what is convenient. Only what is convenient. I've knocked on their doors. They've been members of this church. I've knocked on their door, and it's, "Preacher, I'll try to be there Sunday. I'll try to come. If nothing comes up, I'll be there." The truth of the matter is, really what they were saying is, "If it's convenient, I will come. If it's convenient, I'll come." They go to church when it is convenient for them to do so. They give when it is convenient for them to do so. All right? You say, "Preacher, why do you keep coming back to that?" I've told you why I preach on giving. Because giving brings the blessing of God, and I want God's blessing on you. If you'll learn to give, he'll bless you. All right? But hey, there's a host of folks that only give when it's convenient. Just when it's convenient. If they miss, they miss a month. Never make up that giving. Never. Why? Well, it's not convenient. Hey, they obey the Bible when it's convenient. When it's convenient. Those Ten Commandments really become suggestions unless it's convenient. Hey, that crowd, they'll pray when it's convenient. They'll witness when it's convenient. I'm going to tell you, if convenience is driving you in life, there's going to be some things that never get convenient. They'll never become convenient for you to do. It just will not happen. And they'll never get the convenient status upon them, and you'll never take action on them. You'll never do those things. We could apply this however you want to apply it. If it's a matter of forgiving someone, we'll forgive if it's convenient. If it's a matter of loving others, we'll do it when it's convenient. But only if it's convenient. Hey, the number one maybe driver in this whole world is Mr. Convenience. I'm driving you, and we'll do that if it's convenient. You're great, 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 grandpa is Felix. Mr. Convenience. Mr. Convenience. I'll do it when it's convenient. But there's second driver. Look in Luke chapter 12, would you? Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, we find a parable the Lord told. And every parable he told had a great, rich message. And this is no difference. He tells in Luke chapter 12, we're going to begin in verse 16, what is known as the parable of the rich fool. And the Bible says there in Luke 12, verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns, build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. The second maybe most popular driver is found there. The words take us there in verse 19, where this rich fool said, take thine ease. He said, who's driving, preacher? Comfort. Comfort. If there's one thing we want to be in this world today, it's comfortable. I want to be comfortable. People come to church and complain, well, it wasn't comfortable. It was too hot. It was too cold. The service was too long. Maybe it was too short. You rarely hear that. But, I mean, you know, we've got those. Why? Well, it just wasn't comfortable. Hey, there's a host of Christians that wear their Christianity when it is comfortable to do so. It's just comfortable, I'll do it. When they're with the worldly crowd, they can pull it off, lay it aside, because it's not comfortable there. And we're going to let Mr. Comfort drive us in life. Hey, you know, how shall we then live? Well, let's live comfortable. Let's live comfortable. We want to do it. What is preached and taught every Saturday morning on the radio is your comfort in your future. There's 400 radio shows on telling you how to invest your money and get in good shape, so you can retire early and you can retire well taken care of and you can be comfortable. Comfortable. Now, let me say this to you. I'm not against you retiring early. I'm not against you being comfortable in that sense. But here's the problem. How shall we then live? That's the question. In light of a sin-wrecked and sin-destroyed world, how shall we then live? Well, I want to be comfortable. Hey, the problem is some doctrines make people uncomfortable. There's some doctrines that really upset folks. So what do they do? I'll ignore them. Because when I think about them, I get uncomfortable. And I'm going to avoid them because they make me uncomfortable. Hey, They don't, that crowd really doesn't care for real strong Bible preaching because it makes them uncomfortable. Robert Schuller, who lived and taught in Garden Grove, California for years and years, was their kind of guy. I can come and be comfortable. Be comfortable. Down in Houston, that guy down there, you can go there and be comfortable. Be comfortable. I always say it like this. They could sing the song where never is heard a discouraging word. All right? And the clouds are not, you know, the skies are not cloudy all day. Hey, man, why? We're comfortable. We're comfortable. We're comfortable where we are. They won't live different from the world because that situation, that attention makes them uncomfortable. If the attention is drawn to you, say, I can't live that way, it'll make me uncomfortable. Now, I don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want to stand out in the crowd. People say, now, preacher, I'm just not comfortable in this or that situation. I understand. You say, well, I don't go and I don't try to go and witness to people. I'm just not comfortable doing that. What are you saying? Comfort's driving my life. Comfort is driving my life. When the pressure gets applied, that crowd backs off. Because their Christianity is only good enough when they're comfortable. It's only good enough when I'm comfortable. If I'm comfortable, then I'll hang with it, okay? I'll hang with it. So Mr. Comfort is driving their car, and we like it, man. We can control my vehicle that I drive now. It's got separate controls for the passenger and the driver's temperature. I've driven a car, don't have one, where you got a heated seat or you can cool the seat. A heated steering wheel. I'm going to tell you, I was in Idaho a couple years ago in the winter. That was a wonderful thing. I liked it. But we want that. We want all the creature comforts. You know, I've got my seat's got a lumbago bar in it or some kind of bar. You know, something's supposed to be able to help. We do all that. You can adjust them up, down, pressure, and everything else. Why? We want to be comfortable. We want to be comfortable. That's fine if you're driving your car. But if you get too comfortable, you may go to sleep. So you may want to think about that a little bit. Hey, the truth is, though, in our Christianity, how shall we then live? Won't live comfortable. I won't live comfortable. I want to be I don't want my Christianity to make me uncomfortable. I'm going to tell you the truth. This preacher, I've been in situations where I was uncomfortable. I've been in places where I did not fit in. I wasn't comfortable the way the people were undressed. I was not comfortable with some of the things they were talking about. You said, what'd you do? Got out of there as quick as I could. All right? Got out of there as quick as I could. It wasn't a position where I could say, hey, y'all stop a minute. Let me preach a while, all right? It wasn't where I could do that. But I'm not going to, you know, here we are in Christian life. How shall we then live? Well, I want to be comfortable, preacher. I don't want to stand out. I don't want all that attention. I don't want people's eyes focused on me. I just want to be comfortable. A few years ago, there was a saying that came along that applies right here. You need to get out of your comfort zone. You need to get out of your comfort zone. I'll be honest, Mr. Comfort should not be driving your Christianity. He should not be behind the wheel. I mean, that's wrong. It's not about your comfort. Bless your heart, our Savior wasn't comfortable on that cross. Our Savior was not comfortable when they beat Him. When they spit upon Him, He was not comfortable. He was not comfortable in that garden when He prayed and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He was not comfortable. You and I have no business thinking we'll let Mr. Comfort drive our Christianity. He said, well, preacher, obviously you weren't in favor of convenience and you're not in favor of comfort. So where are we going? Man, am I ever glad you asked. I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. Here's the only one that ought to drive your Christianity. Genesis 39. Your Christianity ought to be driven by the same manner and by the same one who drove Joseph. He was tempted here and tested by adversity in chapter 39 by a stinking woman who was wicked and ungodly, probably a very good-looking woman. And she got after Joseph. She wanted to be immoral with him, and she figured, man, hey, this rascal's nothing but a slave. I believe Joseph was probably a good-looking young man. And she thought, hey, here's a chance. Potiphar's not home. This guy, he's a slave. He'll do what I want him to do. But here's what he said in verse 9 of Genesis 39. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he, that's Potiphar, kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. What a strange belief. Then he says, how then can I do this great wickedness, here it is, and sin against God? What drove Joseph? Wasn't comfort. Wasn't convenience. You said, what was it? Same thing drove Daniel. Go with me to Daniel chapter 1, would you? Daniel chapter 1. Book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1. If you were still in Ezekiel, it'd be easier to find Daniel's right after Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 1. Look with me in verse 8. The Bible said, here's such a well-known verse, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. He purposed in his heart. Said, okay, preacher, who's driving? I'll tell you who's driving. Mr. Conviction was driving their life. Conviction. Hey, I'm talking about Bible conviction. Joseph believed what he believed because somebody had put it into him. He had been taught. He had been trained. He did not read the Bible. There was no Bible. So don't come along and say, well, I don't know what all the Bible says. Neither did Joseph. But bless your heart, he knew what was right. Knew what was right. He didn't worry about what was socially acceptable. He didn't worry about what he could get away with. He said, I've got a conviction, and I cannot sin against God. Said, it's not Potiphar, and it's not you, it's God. Can't do it. He had some Bible convictions before the Bible was written. Daniel had a great portion of the Bible. And he purposed in his heart that he had not defile himself. Why? Had Bible convictions. Had Bible convictions. He knew that God expected more out of his people than he did out of the folks in Babylon. He knew that. He had some Bible conviction. Can I say this to you? All what we call the great heroes of the Bible were driven by conviction. Driven by conviction. Convenience never got in the conversation. Comfort was never a part of the equation, all right? Never. It didn't matter. They didn't worry about that. When it came time for Moses to do the bidding of God, Moses did not stop and think, how uncomfortable is this going to make me? That didn't cross his mind. He didn't worry about the convenience of what was involved in what he was doing. That wasn't there. We could move along. We could talk about David the king. David the king, when he was running for his life, did not think about what was comfortable. He didn't think about what was convenient. He didn't do that. That wasn't the situation. Samuel, raised as a young boy there in the temple, the tabernacle, raised by the Eli, the priest, when it came time to step up and be the leader and to lead the people and to judge them, the question was not what's comfortable. When Nathan was called by God to confront David about his sin, Nathan did not say, "Now, Lord, wait a minute, you want me to do what? You want me to go to David? Now, Lord, you do realize he is the king. But you want me to go him and call him out for his sin?" He didn't say, "Lord, this is not going to be very comfortable for me or David." He didn't say, "Okay, Lord, I'll do it, but I'm going to try to catch him at a convenient time." He didn't do it. But he sat down before David and he told him that story. David said, "Well, man, we ought to do something about it. We ought to fix that guy's wagon." Now, that's in the Hebrew. You got to go there to find that, all right? He said, we need to do that. Nathan didn't worry about it when he pointed his finger at David and said, "Thou art the man. It's you, buddy. You're the one that's guilty. You're the one." What inconvenience. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood before Nebuchadnezzar, and he told them, "Boy, you guys are going to bow down or y'all going to be in the fiery furnace." Those three Hebrew fellows didn't say, "What do you think, guys? It's really not very convenient in that furnace. And we dead sure know it's not comfortable in that furnace. What do you think?" That was never the deal. Instead, they said, "We're not careful to answer thee, O king. So we're just not going to do it. We're not going to do it." Why? Conviction. Conviction. It wasn't comfortable in jail for the Apostle Paul. The jails in that day were not like the jails in this day. Now, I admit to you, I've been in every jail in Fort Worth. Just visiting. But I have visited somebody in every jail in Fort Worth, unless they've made a new one lately. And I've never looked at one and thought, "Boy, that bunk looks comfortable." Okay? I don't think they were. Even today, I don't think they're comfortable. None of the people that I've dealt with, I've had two members that have spent years of their life in the state penitentiary. One of them's gone on to be with the Lord. You said he went in the pen, but he was a Christian. Yep, he just wrong, okay? But none of them came back and said, "Man, I found it comfortable." No, it wasn't comfortable. It wasn't comfortable in jail for Paul. And I say this to you, it wasn't convenient for those Israelis, those Jews, those Israelites to march around Jericho one time, 6 days, seven time on that last day. That wasn't convenient. If it had been us, we'd have probably said, "Lord, why can't we just take care of this right now? I mean, you're planning to take care of it. It's going to happen. Why don't we just go ahead and do it now instead of putting us all out and we have to do all this marching around this city? Why can't you just level it today?" Wasn't convenient. But it was what they were told to do. What they were told to do. Hey, if conviction drives you, Bible conviction, it won't have any trouble taking you through the dark valleys. It won't have any trouble getting you through those dark times in life. Be able to do it if it's conviction that keeps you going. If it's convenience, you'll quit. You'll quit. If it's comfort, you'll quit. But conviction will get you through the valley Hey, it'll get you on those tricky mountain roads where there's curves and turns, and you're never sure what's going to be around the corner. Conviction will get you through that. Conviction will help you to make it without any problem whatsoever. Take your Bible to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Want to read just a few verses. Well, I'll tell you what, stop in Acts chapter 4. Before you get to Acts 27, stop in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, the disciples had been brought before council, and that Peter's there before the Sanhedrin, and man, they've been warned and everything else along the way, you know, gone through it all. But you get down there to verse 19, all right? But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Go to chapter 5. Chapter 5, look at verse 29. Peter's speaking again, but it's a different crowd. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. Now go to Acts 27, all right? Now Acts 27, if you will. Verse 25, preached out of this just a few weeks ago. Verse 25, the Apostle Paul says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God. Hey, my friend, who's driving your Christianity? Who's driving your Christianity? Is it convenience? Or is it comfort? Or is it conviction? Can I just say this to you? I'm here tonight because I'm convicted this is where I ought to be. He said, preacher, you don't have any choice. You're the preacher. Well, I tell you what. I know preachers that lead their churches not have Sunday night service. So they don't have a Sunday night service. Why? Uncomfortable. It's not convenient. I could be home right now watching the Chiefs and the Bills play football. But I truly don't care who wins the game. Hey, it's not comfortable. It's not convenient. I don't know. The older I get, the less I like to get out when it's cold. I'll just be honest with you. So from now on, if it's a cold day, I ain't coming, all right? It's not convenient. It's not comfortable. Have to get out for that little bit of time and get here and get out. And that little bit of time is cold. Hey, but I'm here because of conviction. I'm here because of conviction. I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night because of conviction. You say, preacher, it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. No, it says, though, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And we ought to, I see that day approaching, okay? It's coming. Bible conviction. Preacher, why do you do what you do? Bible conviction. Bible conviction. Just a few minutes, we're going to have baptizing. We're going to baptize Brother Stephen over here. You say, why you do that? Well, because it's a nice ceremony and it makes people feel good. No, it's Bible conviction. Bible conviction. Why we do it, all right? The things we do, it's because of Bible conviction. The reason I stand here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and do what I'm doing right now is Bible conviction. Bible conviction. It's what God says. He chose to use preaching. And He's called me to preach. I'm to preach His word. I'm to preach His word. Now the question is, who drives your Christianity? Is it conviction? Hey, the reason you speak the way you speak ought to be because of Bible conviction. Bible conviction. Things I won't do, things you shouldn't do because of Bible conviction. Look, you're looking at a preacher who still believes the Bible. I don't think you ought to drink any alcoholic beverage. You should not do it. Well, the Bible says, look not on the wine when it moveth itself in the cup, all right? That's the indication of fermentation. If it's grape juice, have at it. But if it's fermented in any way, if it would make you drunk, if you drank enough of it, the Bible tells you don't even look at it. So how can you say, well, it's okay to take a little snort? Because none of you sneak up on the glass feeling your way, all right? Nobody does that. Don't believe that argument. Hey, Bible conviction. Bible conviction. Look, I could just go on and on and on, but all of your life, there ought to be Bible conviction for what you do. There ought to be Bible conviction for what you do. It ought to be there. I mean, your home, marriage, dress, deportment, everything. It ought to be Bible conviction. It ought to be based, what does the Bible say? What does God say about it? You say, well, preacher, I'm not sure what he says. Well, then look, read, ask. Find somebody. That'll help you. Don't set your life because of what somebody else does. Set it based on conviction. Set it based on conviction from the Word of God. What does the Bible say? By the way, there's something. The Bible does not say thou shalt not smoke a cigarette. But there's Bible principles that tell you that's not what you ought to do. There's Bible principle that tells you your body's not your own. You're to take care of it. It's the place where the Holy Spirit lives. And you ought to be careful about what you do. You ought to be careful about where you go, what you involve yourself in. And I could just go on and on and on. But I'm going to stop here tonight. I told you this when I started. I wanted you to really think a little bit. Who's driving your Christianity? Who's driving? Is it Mr. Convenience? Hey, I'm a Christian when it's convenient to be a Christian. A lot of people are. A lot of people that name the name of Christ, that's them. They're a Christian when it is convenient for them to be a Christian. And, you know, it doesn't hurt anything, doesn't get in the way, doesn't take up their time. I'll do that. I'll do the Christian thing. I'll do that Christian thing. Or maybe it's not Mr. Convenience. Maybe it's Mr. Comfort that's driving your Christianity. And you do what makes you comfortable. And if it looks like there's going to be anything that'll be uncomfortable about what you do, you say, not going there, not going to do that. Not going to do that, all right? Or is it Bible conviction? Who's driving? Now, I'm going to tell you what will happen. You'll be tempted to switch drivers. You'll be tempted at some point in life to switch drivers. So, all right, man, I'm going to go by conviction. There's going to come a day you're going to be tempted to switch drivers. You'll be tempted to shift to comfort or convenience. And you'll be tempted to sell conviction. Hey, you've been doing your part. Let me just drive with him for a while. Don't do that. Hey, listen, here's the question. How should we then live? How should we then live? We're going to live convenient, comfortable, or by conviction? Simple thing. Hard to deal with. A challenge. But there's the question. Your life. Who's going to drive? Who's going to drive? Heavenly Father, I pray now tonight you'd help us. You'd help us to consider how should we then live? We're going to live this life, Lord, who's going to drive? Are we going to be driven by convenience? Are we going to be driven by comfort? Are we going to be driven by conviction from the Word of God? God, help us to see it's important who we let drive. Lord, I just ask you tonight to give people that conviction that you'd deal with their heart and they would honestly give you a chance to speak to them about this situation in their life. Lord, help us to realize how important it is we live by conviction. Lord, deal with us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing page 17, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. God's spoken to you. Would you stand together tonight as we sing? And if God's dealing with you, would you come? If God speaks to your heart and He deals with you, would you come tonight and let God work in your heart just a little bit? Let Him do for you what only He can do. Would you do that as we sing?